God of heaven. And if you're visiting, we're very happy that you're here to enjoy the privilege of coming before God's throne in prayer and song, looking into His Word a while. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of the family of God. The title of the lesson this evening is People Eaters. It used to be a novelty song, and those of you who are my age or older probably remember the song that went something like this. There's a one-eyed, one-horned, flying, purple people eater. It's one of my favorite songs of all time. They used to play on the radio. And, of course, it's a humorous song, and we can laugh about things like that, eating people, when they're not actual, when they're not real, when there's no real danger. We live in a world where there's not really any danger of being eaten by a cannibal anymore. So people make jokes about cannibals. There are a whole line of jokes. I heard one time about a kid that got kicked out of school. He was a cannibal. He got kicked out of school for buttering up his teacher. You know, that's supposed to be funny. So you have all these, you know, you don't worry about fake people eaters. But there are, of course, things that eat people really that you might be concerned about. You might be concerned about swimming in the water where there are sharks, for instance. I had a friend that was in the Florida Marine Patrol for many years. He eventually retired from it. But when he was a young man in the Florida Marine Patrol, he was a diver, and he would dive underneath ships as they were looking for drugs and things like that. And he said his biggest fear in life was to be eaten alive by something, particularly a shark. And I can just imagine that, diving in areas where there are lots of sharks. I've shared the story with you about being in Africa, and there were places where where there were problems with lions. And it was a serious thing that a lion could take you down and kill you. In 1898, in West Central Africa, they were building a railway between Uganda and Kenya. And they were using a lot of, I think, Indian workers to build this railway. And the workers started to be attacked by lions. They actually made a movie about this, but it's a real story. About the Tsavo lions. And there were these two huge, I mean, almost as big as a Volkswagen lions that started eating people. And although stories vary and the numbers are not sure, anywhere from 30 to 130 people got killed and eaten by these two lions. Finally, they were killed by a hunter, and their carcasses are on display in the Natural Museum of History in Chicago. But it's a fascinating story. I would be, and I am, when I'm traveling in Africa and we're out in the bush, I am one that's chicken to go out to some of the areas and be off by yourself on a trail somewhere where there are lions. I'm no Tarzan, obviously. You can look at me and see that. So I don't want to wrestle with a lion. Well, in the spiritual world, there are things that would eat us alive. In the material world, there are things that would eat us alive. And they are real, and they are scary. And we need to be concerned about them. We need to be concerned about not becoming them, as we'll talk about a little later in the lesson. We can become people eaters ourselves if we're not careful. And it's that concept that I want to talk with you tonight from the Scriptures. The Scriptures talk a lot about people eaters. About real things in this world that are not the monsters that you thought were under your bed when you were a kid, but they're real life monsters that feed on fear, that inflict misery, that attack us both in spiritual ways and material ways, and eat us alive spiritually and materially, and consume us eventually and leave us with nothing. And it's those things that we need to be concerned with. The first and most obvious of them, I think, the first one that you would think about, is the devil himself. The devil is surely a people eater, and that's what Peter says about him in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. He says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." The devil would like to eat us up in every way possible. He would like to make us miserable spiritually, physically, materially, in every way possible. He would like to inflict misery upon us now and to cause us to have to experience misery for all eternity. We need to be aware of the devil. This is a whole sermon or series of sermons just on being concerned about the devil as a roaring lion. He tempts us with sin, with temptations that seem to be pleasurable. He inflicts us with illness. He hurts us in material ways. He breaks up families. I mean, just on and on and on. Of all of the things that we need to be on the lookout, all of the areas, there's no place that you can walk in this world and not be concerned that Satan might jump up and try to get you. There is no safe place. You say, well, what about in the church? No, that's not a safe place. Have you seen the devil tear up churches? I have. You say, well, what about in the home? You seen the devil tear up homes? Well, what about if you're off by yourself? Well, sometimes that's when the devil gets to you. The easiest, isn't it? And so there's no place you can go in this world and be free from the concern that the devil is on the prowl. Again, that's a whole series of lessons, but we need to be aware of that and keep our defenses up and our guard up at every moment of our lives, because Satan is a people eater. He has a lot of servants in this world that are people eaters as well. They seek to oppress and harm those who are godly, those who are poor, those who don't have power in this world. A lot of interesting verses in the Old Testament about such people. In Psalm 15 and verse 4, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call on the Lord? The kind of people that eat up God's people are people that don't respect God, that don't really have any knowledge of what this world is all about or where we're all headed. And that is to an eternal day, to a day of eternity, which God will judge mankind. In Psalm 56 and verse 1, the psalmist pleads, be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. So the Satan has a lot of wicked workers in this world who would swallow you up, who would cause you harm, physical ways and material ways and spiritual ways, who'd seek to ruin your life if they had an opportunity. Maybe not consciously, maybe not purposely, but there are people who are used by the devil every day without even being aware of it. And they're used by him to destroy people's lives. They seek to steal others' possessions by fraud and by violence. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10 in this familiar passage where Solomon is warning his son about his companions. And he says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. So these people are people who are purposely going out to swallow people, to devour people. They are people eaters. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions, it goes on to say. We shall fill our houses with spoil. So here are people who want to destroy your life by taking your possessions, by cheating you out of things, and they'll gang up to do that. We have all sorts of them in the world today, don't we? Some of you have been victims of identity theft. Some of you have been victims probably of having things stolen from your homes. And maybe there are those here who have been victims of robberies and muggings and all of that sort of thing as well. And we live in a world where more and more so, it seems like, there are those in the world who think that they have a right just to take other people's material things. You may say, well, those are just material things, and they are. But you lose your material things, and it can really put a strain on your life in spiritual ways. And the devil uses those people to do his bidding, to do his work. Look over at the book of Amos in the Old Testament, Amos chapter 8 and verse 4. Where the prophet Amos gives this warning. He says, hear this, you who swallow up the needy and make the poor of the land fail, saying, when will the new moon be passed that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may trade wheat? making the ephah small and the shekel large. And so the idea is that what they would sell would be made small. They'd be cheating people with it's not really a full bushel basket. It looks like it, but it's not really. And so they make that, the measurement of wheat smaller than it should be. And the shekel large, falsifying the scales by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, even sell the bad wheat. Here are people who are intent on, as the text says, swallowing up the needy and inflicting pain on the poor. Many who are here this evening remember perhaps when my mother was a member here at Eastside a number of years ago. She had begun to show symptoms of Alzheimer's, and we were concerned about her dementia. Unfortunately, people who were unscrupulous contacted her during the day and scammed her out of her bank information, took a lot of money out of her bank account because she was not in her right mind and gave them her banking details. And, you know, God is the judge of all such. But when I think, you can just imagine how I feel about that. It just makes my blood boil almost just to think about it. But here are people, and there must be, you hate to think this, but from all of this that goes on, there must be millions of them walking the earth who would take a widow's livelihood and scam her out of every penny if they could, and leave her entirely destitute if they could. Now, we caught it in mom's situation in plenty of time, and the bank restored the funds and all of that sort of thing. But they would do that. Proverbs 30 and verse 14. The wise man speaks of a generation whose teeth are like swords, whose fangs are like knives, who devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. It's a shameful thing, it's a terrible thing, but it goes on in our culture all the time. The irony is, and there is an irony to this, first of all, that God will judge all such, but the true irony is that riches gained in such a way are going to eventually eat the very flesh of the wicked people who gain them in such a way. In other words, people who gain from such deceit and do harm to the needy and oppress, most of the time they come in this life to a very bad end, don't they? And the very money that they have accumulated by fraud and by deceit is often what leads to things like early demises, to bodies coming up floating in the river and such as that, and ruination of their own lives. Of course, they don't see that. They don't see that that's where that's going. But God did. In the book of James, chapter 5, James says, concerning people who have materialism and fraudulent activities as the focus of their lives, he says, your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You're going to be eaten up by the very things that you've coveted and defrauded others out of. He goes on to say, you have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. God will take care of all of that. And the very things that they gain by fraud will eat them up. Back in the Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 16, the wise man says that he who oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he who gives to the rich will surely come to poverty. They often come to a bad end themselves. There are people eaters. There are those who are being used by the devil. And then there are those that you'd least expect to be people leaders. They are spiritual leaders, or they seem to be, but they are selfish and profane. In the scriptures, we find a lot of examples of such people. You can think of the Pharisees of Jesus' day, and particularly the Sadducees of Jesus' day, the high priesthood, which was something where the high priest was mainly looking out for his own interests, his interests of power, his interests of wealth, which it had been perverted from the times of the times of Moses. And it was just a mockery, really, in the times of Jesus. But you can think of all the way through, people who are supposed to be leaders of God's people, taking advantage of them, misusing their power, to really gobble up both material and spiritual things from those that they were supposed to be helping, from those that they were supposed to be leading. So we can go over to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 22 and read with me, starting in verse 23. The word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, say to her, and he's talking to the land of Israel, say to her, you are a land that is not cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation. The conspiracy of her prophets in her midst is like a roaring lion. They tear the prey. They have devoured people. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in her midst. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the prophets, people who are supposed to be speaking for God and leading God's people in the right way. And they have devoured people, and they've taken, as we were talking a little bit ago, the livelihood of widows, and they've destroyed people materially and spiritually. He goes on and talks in verse 26 about the priests who have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. We've got folks right now today in the United States of America who are supposed to be spiritual leaders who cannot tell you the difference between the holy and the unholy, who make no distinction between those things, going on in churches all around us right now, who mix the secular with things that are spiritual. You cannot tell the difference. Who think the work of the church is to be a secular thing. Who think that the gobbling up of money and the increase of coffers is what churches exist for, the bottom line. Some of these so-called community evangelical churches around about us that are becoming mega churches, sometimes thousands of members, kind that have the coffee shops out in the foyer and so on and so forth. What are they doing? Mingling the spiritual with the profane. For what cause? Money. You ought to see some of their balance sheets. We've got that going on right now. Round about us, in our community. In verse 27, her princes in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey to shed blood, to destroy people, and to get dishonest gain. In verse 28, her prophets plaster them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions, divining lies for them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord had not spoken. The people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppressed the stranger. So all throughout this context, you have the prophets, you have the princes, you have the priests, all of whom are supposed to be leading and caring for the people of God, all of whom are in it for themselves. What a tragedy that is. We need to be aware of that. I know I'm talking to the, you know, as the old saying goes, preaching to the choir probably tonight, but I become incensed when I turn on the television, there's some televangelist on, and you know, all they're doing is asking for money when they already have living in multi-million dollar houses and all this sort of business, and I could start naming names, and you know who I'm talking about. Let's never let that become us, number one. But number two, let's not be so foolish as to think that such leaders, such misguided people who are supposed to be spiritual leaders have anything to offer us that's worthwhile. We need to be cautious. In Micah chapter 3 and verse 1, God says this through Micah. He says, I said, hear now, O heads of Jacob, and you rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice? You who hate good and love evil, who strip the skin from my people and the flesh from their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people flay their skin from them, break their bones, chop them in pieces like meat for the pot, like flesh in the cauldron. Not only were they eating people, they were cooking them beforehand. Skinning them and cooking them beforehand. That's what it's described. What an attitude. What a disposition. What an awful thing. And then, when it comes to people leaders, there are loveless words. I want you to think with me about a phrase or two that we use commonly. I really chewed him out. Never said that? What's that talking about? Words can really get to people, can't they? We used to, when I was a kid, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, they do hurt. They can hurt a lot. Words are powerful. It's interesting, when God sent His Son to this world, He sent Him as the Word. It was by God's Word that everything's created. You don't think words are powerful? Words are powerful. Even human words are powerful and can do hurt and harm and can just eat people alive. I really chewed him out. The word sarcasm is an interesting word. Are we guilty of using a lot of sarcasm? You know, somebody says something and we come back with some remark that makes them feel about this high and makes fun of what they've said and who they are, perhaps. That's what sarcasm is. But it's an interesting word. It comes from a Greek word. The Greek word for flesh is sarx. Sarx. S-A-R-X is how it'd be in English. And that's where we get sarcasm from. And the idea of sarcasm is just eating up the flesh with words. With words. That's what sarcasm is. Hurting people with words. There are a lot of other things that we do. Sarcasm is just one. Lying and cursing and all sorts of other ways that you can eat people up. But I think that's an interesting word. In the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, we have this warning. If you bite and devour one another. Now what's Paul concerned about there? Cannibalism? Is that, were people buttering up their teachers? Was that it? No. That's not it. But he says, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. You start nipping at each other, and then there's a little blood in the water, and before you know it, you're eating one another up. And that is in the context of a contrast between that and the earlier verse says, through love, serve one another. The kind of thing that Paul is describing in Galatians 5:15 are just words that are loveless, that are meant to harm and hurt and eat others up, that are not spoken in love, that are not spoken in tenderness, that are not spoken with caring, true caring, for the welfare of the person that we're speaking to. And it doesn't matter whether we're talking about things in our churches or in our homes or in schools or relationships at work or whatever. It's one thing when you're the person who's being eaten up by words, but it's another thing when you're the person who's doing the eating. And we as Christians cannot allow ourselves to be that person. Oh, I know it's tempting. Believe me, I know. To say words that are meant to hurt rather than help. Sometimes people need to hear words that are rebuking. And they need to hear some difficult things and correction. We understand that. And sometimes those words are going to hurt folks. But the point is, what's the intention of them? Are they spoken out of love and a real concern for a person, or are they spoken to hurt, to tear down? And there are some words, only you and God can be the judge of that. In Psalm 52 and verse 1, we learn this is an evil thing to do, to have power over a person and to use words to hurt them. Listen to the psalmist carefully in these words, Psalm 52 and verse 1. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. I want you to notice that he's addressing a man who is mighty, but who is also evil and who does not consider the goodness of God. He says, your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. So here's a description of a wicked man who's eating people up with lies and false statements and all devouring words, the statement is. He obviously doesn't care for folks. He's just trying to cut. He's just trying to hurt. And he is described as a mighty man, but a wicked man. An evil man. So in this life, as we think about what we've learned tonight, let's be on guard against people eaters. You might say, well, yeah, I don't want to be eaten up. I don't want to experience any of this. Well, the devil is going to be after us, and so we have to be on guard. The wicked, the selfish, the profane, those who are speaking loveless words, we can't always avoid that, try as we might. What are we going to do? We need to be aware of what's happening here. We need to be aware of what they're trying to do to us. We need to guard against allowing them to eat us up with these things. And most of all, when we're attacked in any of these ways by any of these individuals, we need to remember who our trust is in, and this will help us most of all. Our trust is in God, who in every case gives us the victory. The promise is that there is nothing in this world that can separate us from the love of God. No power on earth can do that. I want you to think about Psalm 57, verses 2 and 3. I will cry out to my God Most High, God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. A lot of dealing with this is just trusting God. Let God handle things sometimes. Trust in God's way. God shall send forth His mercy and His truth. That is the promise. When a crocodile gets a hold of you, he's not likely to let go. Those jaws clamp down. He starts to roll, to confuse, and ultimately drown you so he can eat you. That's how a crocodile works. Think about something getting hold of you. That's not going to let go. I remember watching the Tarzan movies when I was a boy. Again, some of you are old enough to remember those. There was almost always a scene, either where there was a lion attack or a crocodile attack. Tarzan's always, if the crocodile's attacking, jumping in the water, and he's going to wrestle with the crocodile. God alone, maybe, can open up the mouth of the thing that's got you. We talked about this morning being set free from sin. What power there is in the grace of God. Set you free. Would you submit to that power tonight while we stand?